Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This podcast is sponsored by Every.Black Entrepreneurs Podcasting Network. We have with us again today Mr. Rufus Stevens, a certified public speaker and entrepreneur. Glad you're with us again, Rufus.
Thank you so much, William. I appreciate it.
Rufus was with us last week when we focused on his profession as a public speaker. And we also touched on your writing efforts, and that was very insightful as well. But this week, I'd like for the focus to be on faith, beginning with your personal faith. And as I mentioned last week to our listeners, you are an ordained minister. And I'd like to know, first of all, how did you get into the ministry? And tell us what you do as a minister.
I have... I'm one of those, like so many ministers, that being a minister was the last thing in the world I wanted to do. I grew up in Savannah, Georgia, and my grandfather, Reverend Rufus Dinkins, he pastored a church in Savannah, and we grew up in the church. He died 2 years before I was born, but I look just like him. And I tell everybody he was a remarkably handsome man. But he, all of my life, William, I can't tell you, all of my life from 7 or 8, people would look at me, oh, my goodness, you look just like your grandfather. You're going to preach, too. You're going to preach, too. I didn't want to be preaching. I went to Sunday school because there were girls. And and so I heard this well into college. Oh, my goodness, you look just like your grandfather. And it was the last thing in the world I wanted to hear. But sometime around late 20s, I kept having this prompt, and I would talk to pastors about it, hoping they would tell me that you're delusional and, you know, that it's not God calling you to the ministry. And finally, when I was in my 30s, one guy told me, and he was spot on, he said, don't worry about it, Rufus. He said, when you can't stand it anymore, you'll know. And that's exactly what happened. It got to the point where I couldn't stand it anymore. I must have been in my mid-30s. And I accepted the call to the ministry. And this was in Joliet, Illinois. And I started, you know, going to school. And at one point I was in seminary. And I worked underneath a powerful preacher and Bible student. And it was a very good time for me. And so then it was preaching and teaching and that kind of thing. And that just grew over time. The more I prepared myself, the better I became at it, the more, I think, the more productive I was in the process of teaching. And then meeting people's needs, people would call and they would have social needs. And, you know, the 1 o'clock in the morning call, the call to come to the emergency room, somebody's laying dead in a bed. All of that became part of this whole process, and I just embraced it. The uncomfortable parts and all, there must be something about me that speaks well to these people when I show up and they're going through things. And so I just own that. And when we moved and came here, we joined the part of this move was moving from Illinois to North Carolina was just head shaking because I had just been named the assistant pastor of a church. And we just felt though it was time to move. And we moved here and I joined White Rock Baptist Church, this iconic church here in Durham, and became one of the associate ministers. And so part of my jobs, part of my duties are preaching when I'm asked to preach, like this coming Sunday I'm preaching, and or teaching Sunday school, or I head the men's ministry. Wherever else there's a need, we feed the homeless downtown Durham, you know, once a month, and so I try to put myself wherever I can that helps to meet the needs of the people or whatever pastor needs me to do. So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
Well, you mentioned White Rock Baptist Church in Durham. I'm familiar with that church, being a student at North Carolina Central University for a number of years, and actually working at the school as well. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to ask you, what is the importance of faith to you personally, and how has it contributed to your business success, in your opinion?
Well, beyond this, you join the church, and then you get serious about your faith walk, and you make this commitment to Christ, and you allow the Spirit of God to drive your decisions and your whole countenance. And so for me, it's been huge because I've had challenging times in my life. In 1995, my wife passed away. And something like 60 days later, my mother passed away. And with faith in God, resting on Him, trusting that that I could get through this too shall pass, is the kind of thing that keeps you. I've been in business. I was in business for 6.5 years in Chicago, and it was tough having 13 people work for you and trying to run a business. But God kept me through all of that. And so for me, it's a part of who I am. It's not Rufus plus faith. It's faith in Rufus that causes him to function. And so it's something just a part of my economy that I trust God in this, and that I don't believe in cosmic accidents or bad luck or anything like that. If things are going on, then God is in it. And there's a bigger reason for it than and that helps us to deal with the pain or the inconvenience that comes with whatever's going on.
Well, I tell you, faith is something that we could talk about for a long time. I'm sure you're aware of that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But we need to move on. Let me ask you this. 2020 has been a unique year with the coronavirus pandemic and police brutality issues in various places across this country, especially in the African-American community. Let me ask you, how has your faith been affected during these challenging times in our nation's history with these kinds of issues going on?
I think the two levels I'm thinking about as to answer your question. My faith, I've had to look to God when I see what's happening with our national leaders. Because on a lot of levels, it looks like evil was winning. Or if evil's too strong a word, then the not good was winning. And then I trust God. I trust Him for everything else. It's like... When you read Job said, am I supposed to take only the good things from God, not take the bad, that come my way? And so the inconvenience, the challenges that are going on right now in our society, especially the COVID-driven things and 200,000 people dying. And, first of all, I believe that this is a way that God is getting our attention. Now, some people may say, boy, that sounds really harsh of God, but I think we have been running around thinking that we are running stuff and that we got this all together and we live by way of 401k and all that kind of stuff. And as one lady told me at the doctor's office, God has just pressed the pause button and said, because this thing is not just America, it's worldwide. And if we would be wise to say, hey, listen, we see it for what it is. Now, away from that and into the issue of what's going on in the black community, I think that's a wake-up call. I think George Floyd, as horrendous as that was a wake-up call. The nation has joined this chant that black lives do matter. And I get so frustrated with my friends who, in their method of, I guess, countering Black Lives Matter, say all lives matter. Of course they matter. But it's the black ones that are dying in the streets. And so I trust God that God is moving this thing somewhere. I don't think this is the end of it. I think there are too many millions of people now have joined, have locked arms. I have people, William, that have contacted me and said, hey, listen, white people have said, Rufus, I apologize for keeping my mouth shut and letting evil go forward. And by way of silence, sanctioning that. So I see all of that as a God move. That's not, I think the George Floyd was a trigger, but there's a bigger God move at work here to get us to be the people he wants us to be.
Well, I tell you what, Rufus, we're going to touch on this in just a minute, mm-hmm. as far as biblical prophecy is concerned. And it's very, very interesting. But let me ask you this question. We all know that this is an election year. And from what you know about the coronavirus pandemic we're having that has literally held us captive over the past several months, what okay. advice would you give any of our elected officials about the best way to solve this problem?
I think that everything starts with a conversation in earnest. And that's got to be the driver. The nature of the conversation has to be honest and ends oriented. That we're just not talking to talk, and we're talking because we want to fix something, and we're talking from the heart. We're not talking in light of our next political move that speaks to my end game that has nothing to do with us getting together. Those kind of conversations have been happening for eons and nothing happens. But when people honestly sit before one another, I just listened this morning, Bishop Curry was on, and he was challenging people to, you know, make friends with people that disagree with you, you know. The political position can't be a driver for your friendship. They can live in their own world, and you can live in yours, and just allow for them to be there. And I just think that politicians have to sit down honestly and call what it is. That's the thing that I'm sidetracking myself, but that's the thing that's frustrated with me with some of my friends. We've seen horrendous things in the streets of America, and I've pleaded to my friends on Facebook, can you just call evil evil? Okay. Is it okay to shoot a man 7 times in the back? Can you just call that wrong? We can talk about other police issues, but for a minute, can you call shooting a man to death while he's reaching for his wallet and his 4-year-old is in the back seat? Can you call that wrong? And it is crickets. And until we can get to the point where we open our mouths and talk honestly and say, I don't agree with that, or I agree with that, or I acknowledge that's wrong, then I'm concerned for our future. But I believe we can get there from here. I really do.
Well, that would be something that you could advise, and I was going to ask you a question about that, but you pretty much answered it, and that is, given all the civil unrest that we're having, and if you were the president's main advisor, not necessarily this particular president, the current president, but any president, how would you advise him on this issue of civil unrest? And I think you touched on that very mm-hmm. well. Did you want to add anything other than what you talked about already?
I think, you know what, it sounds kind of namby-pammy-ish, but basically, if you lead with your heart, you know, you and understanding all the other ramifications of making moves and all that kind of stuff, you leave the door open to get there from here. If you decide to be empathetic and say, let me try to see it from your side, and for that matter, for the people on the other side of it, let me try to see it from the police side. You're talking about president. If I was talking to president, I would just say, hey, listen, lead with your heart. Try to not to take sides, but hear from people and feel what the people are feeling. And you get no sense of that right now.
Okay. All right, well, listen, we're going to go on another break, and we'll be right back with Mr. Stevens.
Okay.
Stay with us. Welcome back. We're here with Mr. Rufus Stevens, entrepreneur and certified public speaker. Rufus, I want to continue to talk to you about faith, but from the standpoint of what's going on right now in our country, and of course we touched on that before the break, and I'm talking about police brutality issues that seem to be most prevalent in the African-American community. And again, you touched on that very well before we took our break. But let me ask you this. As a minister, to what extent do you think the church should be involved in dealing with these issues?
Well, you know, I think somebody would shake their fist at me, but I really don't think that our churches are as committed as I believe they ought to be. I think, and William, you know that there was a time in our history where there were very few corners of society, the community we came from, that the church didn't touch, and it had some. It had leverage, it had authority from just being who it was. And I don't see that now. I see churches that seem to be removed from that. You know, you see it in some of the compromise preaching that, you know, you don't want to say anything that offends anybody, even that it's nothing but Bible. And I just think that the respect for churches is waning on the parts of a lot of people, and that's due largely to the church. I think the churches could band together, you know, across ecumenical lines and become a force for change. And I'm sure somewhere in America that's happening, but I don't see it in mass like I think you would expect to see, considering what we see on the nightly news and what's happening in the streets. We will march a little bit, but I don't see us getting together as groups of believers focused on changing the society. And we have great churches, we have great leaders and everything like that, but I think there's still a lot we can do as a body of believers.
But, you know, one reason for that, I believe, is because of the polarization of the church, actually, because of either what your political spectrum is, whether you're on the right or the left. And sometimes you ask the question, well, do all of these churches believe in the same God? And obviously, there's only one God. But depending on your political viewpoint, you can get totally different or separate answers to certain questions. It's very difficult to come together. It really is, it seems.
It really is.
You know, because of that.
And then that's a shame. That is a shame.
It really is. It really is. Well, listen, you mentioned earlier about all of the events that are going on today and that maybe God is trying to tell us something. Some in the faith community have drawn parallels between what's happening in the world today and biblical prophecy. And I want to know your views on this. And let me read to you a verse of scripture that addresses this subject. And I'm reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 24, and verses 7 through 12. And this is what it says, and I quote, "For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences, or pandemics, and earthquakes in various places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up to deceive many, and because of lawlessness will abound. The love of many will grow cold." And I guess that last particular verse or statement in this verse of scripture, it says, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. End of quote. So let me ask you this. Do you see what's stated in this biblical prophecy apparent in what's going on in the world today?
Oh, yeah, I do. I think it's hard for you not to read this and look around you and not say, hey, listen, this thing is going on. This was an indicator that God is, this is what's going to happen. God is allowing this to happen. And I think this tells us that the upside of this, and this all this awfulness, is that Christ is on his way to return, you know, and it's getting as bad as the Bible says, you know, this issue of lawlessness. I hear people talking, you know, the guns are flying off the shelf. People are buying guns like crazy. And we have, preachers that are not preaching the gospel. Some adulterated gospel. There's some prophet centered. It's the prosperity gospel, and that's not a gospel at all. The prosperity doctrine, and there's a hatred right now. And I just said, call it what it was. I know your show is not supposed to be getting all that political, but our president has drawn battle lines to people. If they felt that way, they didn't feel open to attack people like they are now. And there's a hatred that's building in this country that speaks to what you just read. And my fear is that if this continues on, we'll find ourselves in some kind of civil war. Back to your point, I think prophecy is playing itself out. I would say to believers just to be ready. Because our ultimate answer is going to be our faith in Christ, okay? And I think I answered your question. Yeah, it's this looks a lot like today, and I think it's only going to get worse.
Well, of course, we've been focusing on the civil unrest and the pandemic, but we didn't mention the fires that are going on in California. Unprecedented. Hurricanes down on the Gulf Coast. And we even had an earthquake here in North Carolina about a month or so ago?
And horrendous earthquakes in the Middle East.
Yeah. So anyway, it's something to at least consider. Well, Rufus, we're coming to the close of this interview, and okay. Do you have any other closing comments that you'd like to make before we finish?
I just, William, I just, I like to encourage people. I call myself the edifier, because I see a lot of people throwing their hands up and not bringing their best selves forward. I think if you're a budding author out there, a budding speaker, or just somebody that's looking to be your best self, then you have to run after that and get with people who of like minds and get that done. Don't sit around here and just let life just pass you by watching TV and that kind of thing. There's a better you the society is deserving of, and I would challenge anybody listening to this to run after the best you can bring.
Well, that's correct. And one last thing, and I think you gave your contact information earlier. I know you did last week, but again, give your contact information for anyone who would like to contact you.
Sure. I can be reached on cell phone at 847-878-5421. I can be reached on my by email, raisingtheroof@gmail.com, and raising is spelled just like the fruit, RAISIN, the THE roof, RUFE, @gmail.com. Or you can go to my webpage, which is simply raisingtheroof.com.
Well, great. Well, thank you for being with us for today. And
thank you, William. I really appreciate it.
I know you were with us last week, and it's been a grand 2 weeks being with you, your insight.
Likewise, my friend.
Well, that's all for today. In closing, I just want to say that whatever you may be going through, whether it's good or bad, just keep in mind that there's always more good things coming your way. We'll see you the next time.